can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
And we're back for hour two of the alternative media here on RBN. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf here with co-hosts Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. And, of course, you can catch Patrick every weekday, Monday through Friday, on his show National Bugle Radio here on RBN. That's 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. And then my show is directly before his broadcast, Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Central, Beyond the Official Narrative. And Paul Edward Stevenson, I have with me on RBN every Monday as my co-host. That's Mondays, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. And again, we are taking your calls here for the second hour. You know, nice opportunity for some live callers here on the eve of Independence Day. If anyone on our panel or any topic takes your interest in particular, listeners, that's 512-248-8252. If you don't have unlimited cell phone minutes for free long distance, then there is a toll-free option, 800-313-9443. But otherwise, if you do, we do prefer you use 512-248-8252. And we'll look forward to hearing your thoughts. So it's, I don't know, it's curious. I mean, what is the, you know, the most important? Lately, I've been covering the COVID response and all of this, the censorship surrounding that. I just think it's the best way to wake up the most people right now. And, you know, it just shows how much nothing really is about the science or the truth as far as the establishment is concerned. And it's something that affects everyone, you know, I mean, their health and even their freedoms. And it shows these globalist agendas for what they really are. I mean, a lot of these things are kind of hard. We even have the World Economic Forum changing what they have on their website due to reactions at times. Like, you will own nothing and you will be happy in 2030. They pulled that down, from what I understand, because of the response. Maybe they expected just most of their own in the predator class, parasite class, to be admiring it and not too much of the goyim, you know. And so I don't know what the PR there, what the thinking is, but well, it's hard to say, though. Many think the West will be overtaken because of immigration and just the breeding out, well, with policy, with immigration, with various infertility, just a combination of factors, but bringing in third worlders enough to replace, you know, the European population, and here in America to replace white people, and that's really going to destroy the West. You know, I mean, we hold on to the freedoms we have, you know, and the lifestyles we have, and it's partly due to, many argue, you know, European genetics and. You know, I mean, there's culture, but there's also genetics, which contributed to that. And yet others see that there's this greater, well, I mean, I recognize there's a great concern for just totalitarian technological implementation, you know, that COVID is allowing great strides in, which is affecting all races equally. So, you know, what will happen first and how much time should we invest in each of these factors? I mean, Patrick, you've recently discussed on your show how, you know, you sometimes question at times just how much discussion of Jewish power should be effectively included and to what extent. Also, just how much of a purity spiral you want to allow in the discussion, because, I mean, to be realistic about things, and that goes double for the U.S. compared to Europe, as far as the, you know, racial purity or this idea of civic nationalism. Of course, Jews who don't adhere to the politics or religion of Jewry, I mean, to exclude them, well, that would be more extreme than even Hitler. So, I mean, that would be pretty ridiculous. But we have people out there who, especially when they first become aware of Jewish power, I mean, they're so bothered by it that they want to take that stance, at least for the first couple of years of their awakening.
Yeah, that is a tendency when people first find out, because it's really so outrageous what's going on. And so the for many people, the first response is just to be as extreme as possible. There's kind of this purity spiral. Now, you know, one thing is on our RBN, for instance, we're not paid for doing our shows. And we have to find our livelihood elsewhere. And so we're not at risk of losing. Well, I mean, we could be at risk of losing our livelihoods, but it's not from RBN. We don't have to worry about RBN kicking us off because we get into certain issues, which people who are in the paid media, they do have to worry about that. So there's that. And myself, my own background as like an academic and a researcher, for me, I'm just trying to get things as accurately as possible. There are other people who maybe act more as polemicists or propagandists, not in the bad sense of the word, but, you know, you're trying to propagate certain information, or as political strategists who might be thinking, well, regardless of whether it's the most accurate thing to say, strategically, it makes the most sense to attack, you know, this element of Jewish power, this group, or this power. So, you know, different people have different roles. But I do think that, you know, one of the things I've been looking into recently is we tend to assume that just because we understand things, that because we see Jewish power, that the people who are in the middle of it must understand it. The people, everybody works in Wall Street must understand it as well as we do. Or everybody in Congress must understand the same things we do, or the same with the media. That somebody worked for the New York Times, they must understand this as well as we do. And I'm increasingly coming to the conclusion that the understanding of people, even people in the middle of it, even people who are Jewish themselves, is almost certainly much less than we would assume. And, you know, just think of how hard it was for you to come to your own understanding of it. I think of how long it took me to gain at least certain. I mean, even though I've been studying Jewish power for my entire adult life, but kind of obsessively for the past 25 years, over 25 years, it took me 15, almost 20 years to understand that, and this came from David Duke, that it wasn't just that Jews were trying to accumulate power for power's sake or wealth for wealth's sake, but they were also viewing white Europeans as their biggest rival, and engaging in, well, you know, what's bad for the whites is good for the Jews. And I didn't understand that, even though I was studying it obsessively. And so the thought that somebody who is in Congress, they might have the understanding that, oh, you can't say bad things about Israel, you can't say bad things about the Jews, because you're going to have, you're going to face a primary challenger, you're going to face a well-funded challenger, or, you know, something like that. that is still a far step from really a comprehensive understanding of what's going on. And, you know, so people might know, oh, I can't write an article about such and such because I might get fired. But that doesn't mean they have a broad, comprehensive understanding like people who listen to RBN are much more likely to have. And so that's one of the things I've been looking at. And that has all sorts of implications. If people, even, you know, government leaders in foreign countries, if they don't understand things quite as well as we think they do or we think they ought to, that has all sorts of implications.
And Paul, do you want to share your thoughts on this? Hello, Paul. You're still muted.
Yeah, there, one second.
There, I unmuted you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Jewish thing is one that I often say this about the Bible as well, you know. It's like a little bit of Bible knowledge is dangerous, you know. And it's a little bit like that with the Jewish thing as well. You know, it's like an onion, you know. After a year of studying the Jewish thing, you pretty much think you know everything that you need to know. And after 10 years, you realize you don't really know that much. You know, it's one of those things where it's quite complex. And every time you think you've got a comprehensive understanding of it, you realize that there's more to learn and there are more nuances to it. And in some ways, you can boil it down to, yeah, just what Patrick said. There is this, and it goes back to the history of Jews in Europe, where there is this historic enmity between Jews and the kind of typical Christian European culture, which, of course, in the last 2,000 years has been dominated by Christianity in a way that is not the case, say, in the last century or so, which where Europe and the United States have become much more secular. But there is that enmity there, and it's a kind of a, it's just a self, you know, self-perpetuating cycle where, you know, the Jews will argue that it's hostility from the white Europeans, that it's just this blind, irrational anti-Semitism that causes the problem. And that's how they see it. And they never acknowledge, for whatever reason, that there is rational hostility, not because they're Jews per se, but because of their behavior is so subversive, so destructive. And it became identified as traits of Jewish people. Now, of course, not all Jewish people, etc., but this general theme of Jewish behavior and Jewish subversion of the Christian culture, and then they get a reaction to it, and then this goes down, and you know, it reinforces this idea within the Jewish community of anti-Semitism, and then that gets taught. I mean, Jewish, you know, kids, particularly if they, you know, if they go to the synagogues and stuff, this sort of stuff is taught in the synagogues, that they need to survive and that they are living in a hostile environment with white people and white, you know, Europeans and those of white European descent. And they teach their history and they teach them that that's the case. So you have this kind of paranoia from Jews that they have a target on their back, when in actual fact, really the hostility, if they're honest, which they're not, is actually coming from their behavior and coming from their deliberate aggressive attempts to subvert and destroy the culture, which is what they do everywhere, which is why they get a reaction. And let's face it, in the last century, people are not, and they're still not, at a point where it's got that bad, where they're even willing to have the discussion about Jews, I mean, in the mainstream. Most people repel from it because of a century of unprecedented Jewish power in the West, through the media and the banking, and they just buy up.
And the propagation of Jewish victimhood propaganda, of course.
Yeah. So they've really sort of, you know, this has really taken foot now. And I mean, to me, it's an offense to me that you have so many people that are willing to give Jews the benefit of the doubt And that when anyone talks about the Jewish thing, and I'm talking about people within the white community, or just like, you know, in quotes, respectable people who don't want to be associated with that sort of abominable anti-Semitism and hostility to Jews or any kind of negativity towards Jews, it's just not sort of seen as kind of respectable behavior. But Jews have been expelled from every country in Europe more than once, several times in some of those countries. Now, are we supposed to give the benefit of the doubt that all those countries were just blindly anti-Semitic? Or could we think themselves, there seems to be something in this group which is developing a pattern where their behavior becomes intolerable to the point that they get expelled from the country? But that benefit of the doubt is not afforded to those countries and is actually afforded to this, to the Jewish community. Now, that's the equivalent of me having a job, and every time I go to a job, I get sacked from the job. Mm-hmm. And it's the same complaint. Oh, this guy's lazy. He's disrespectful to the staff. He's actually, you know, causing damage to the company. We had to get rid of him. And someone looks back at my CV, and there's this history of this same behavior from this guy. Would you really call all those companies hostile and that I've been treated unfairly? Or would you rightly conclude that there's a pattern here, that this guy's a problem and the problem lies with him?
Right. Yeah, and you make the point that Jews, they learn in synagogue. They learn through their own, you know, the media that is aimed at everybody, but also the media that's aimed specifically at them. They learn through their culture that they're always the victims, and B, that animosity towards them is irrational and not based in any way on their own behavior. That's completely irrational, has nothing to do with anything that they've ever done. In fact, I mean, I've heard a Jewish person on a podcast say, you know, we might as well do all of these things because we're going to get blamed for it anyway, right? So, I mean, if you're gonna get blamed by your wife for cheating on her, you might as well cheat on her, right? I mean, that's kind of the thinking. But here's the thing. What are white people or European people taught about Jews? Now, there you could find examples in the past. Henry Ford putting the international Jew in his car. So 90 years ago, even then, could he really get away with it? Because actually, he had to put an end to that practice. So, you know, there was pushback even 90 years ago on that. But if you look at the past few generations, we live in the most philo-Semitic society imaginable, where, you know, Jews were Christians, you know, far from Martin Luther's accusations against Jews were the you know, the very numerous evangelical Christians, for the most part, are extremely philo-Semitic. You know, so is the so is the white elite in general. I mean, everybody's, oh, those wonderful Jews, the you know, pretty Jewish girls going to their synagogues or whatever. And yet, surrounded by the most philo-Semitic of you know, culture that's ever existed, instead of getting a decrease of the anti-white policies, of the attack, the hostility towards whites, you have an increase in it. They've ramped it up. And, you know, so what does that show you? You know, so maybe in the past you could make the point that, well, okay, the you know, maybe there was the same type of anti-outgroup hostility from Europeans against Jews. Although Andrew Joyce has done a lot of research showing that so many times in European history, Jews were actually a protected class. So even that, you know, it's probably hit and miss. If you go into a society at one point, they're philo-Semitic, and then things go too far, and they get kicked out of the country.
Well, yeah, when it's not in the interests of the ruling elites, you know, when that balance was still, when white Europeans were the ruling elites, and they actually, to some extent, exploited Jews for, you know, for loans and that sort of thing. When the balance was fine between the Jewish elites and the people, then the Jews could be protected. But once that became out of sync, then the Jews, you know, could find themselves in a difficult situation.
Okay, well, I hear the music, gentlemen. And we have a couple of callers on hold, so we'll go to the phones after we get back from the break. Stick around.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we're back, folks. The alternative media. Here on RBN, Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-hosts today, Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. See, first on the line, we have Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Hey, good morning and a good Independence Day to you. What's on your mind, sir?
Yes, good morning to all you gentlemen, and happy 4th of July weekend to you guys. What's on my mind is what we're going to get to is this. Khrushchev said back in the 60s that we're going to take over your country without firing a shot. Well, that's basically happening right now. The Marxist communists are taking over this country. And before Paul was right on the money, the way he summed up how he looked at the Jewish situation. I got to say this, though. And before I go to immigration and why this is happening, the Jews... they definitely want to wipe out Christian civilization here in the United States and Europe, because Europe is under attack unrelentingly. We'll see what happens with this election with the French and Hungarian Orban and Le Pen here next year. That's going to be very interesting. But now what I want to get back to is this, with this situation. You know, the Jews in this country, when I was a kid, Richard, you remember this, and I'm sure Patrick does, and I'm sure Paul does. When I was a kid, they were telling everybody, all the kids in school at the time, that the Germans turned the Jews into lampshades. They took all, that's how they financed the war, by taking, killing Jews and taking their gold out of their teeth. And they were talking about, they were turning into thousands and thousands of Jews were turned into lampshades, and they were using, making rubber and all kinds of stuff out of their bodies. I'm like, when I was a kid, I'm like, wow, that was kind of evil. And then I find out all this nonsense is a lie. And then I find out the fact about Hitler, who his father was. That was even another shocker to me. But I'll let you talk about that. But getting back to the Jews, do they realize that the Christian men in this country saved them from annihilation? Do they ever acknowledge that? It wasn't the Hispanics who saved them. It wasn't the Afro-Americans. Not saying they didn't help fight in the war. I'm not going to put that out there, because I'm sure there was Afro-Americans, you know, helping out with the war effort, Hispanics also. But you look at it, it was white Northern European men going to Germany, killing their own people, basically. Well, most of the soldiers, a matter of fact, I believe most of the half the soldiers in the United States military were German Americans, if I'm not mistaken.
But I wouldn't phrase it as saving them from annihilation, because Hitler was not trying to annihilate the Jews. I mean, that is a lie that's perpetuated by the Jews.
Okay, Richard, I agree with that too. Matter of fact, I think if the United States wouldn't have got into that war because of the attack on Pearl Harbor, I think the Hitler would have crushed the Russian communists. He would have definitely won against the Russian Stalin. He could have annihilated Stalin without the help of the United States sending them fresh this and fresh bullets and every other thing that they were getting from the United States to Russia. So yes, but you know, as far as Hitler and the Nazi war machine, they called it, they were way ahead of us. They did give us rocketry. They gave us a lot of, you know, jet engines and a lot of stuff that the Allies didn't have. Now, going back to what I told you yesterday, Richard, the United States, well, I won't say the United States, but we did have slaves here. But the countries that lost World War II were slave owners, as like the United States or England or France or Spain or Portugal. But, you know, that's just the way that history was wrote. But all we hear now is how evil the United States is, how bad the United States is. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. If these people don't like this country, they can leave it. Because as far as I look at it, Richard, the white Anglos are still in the majority. They still are God-fearing, and they love this country, and they love their guns. You know what? While we still have the majority, we need to hold on to it immediately now. We can't wait for the down the future when all these illegals are pouring in here by the millions. Okay, they're not going to South America where they already speak the language. They're coming here because they want everything white man got. Free, free, free. Oye, free for me. So we do not stop this, Richard. We are going to be, like you've been saying for weeks, months, we're going to be a third world country here in the next 2-3 years, for sure. We're third world already, basically, in some areas, the United States. You can see what's happening in the United States. There's, look, Richard, let me ask you this. I want to ask Paul this, and I'd like to ask Patrick this. How come now all these Hispanics coming here, and how come you have all these major networks in Spanish? Why don't we have German? There's more German Americans in this country than any other group. Why don't we have a German TV? Why haven't we have German national radio? Why isn't all these kids being taught German?
Well, they don't retain their language. They've integrated. And, of course, we have large amounts of Spanish-speaking.
German-Americans are still the majority in this country.
Here, I think
why
Patrick
isn't
wants,
German kids
German
in this country taught German?
Here, I think
the,
Patrick wants
the plurality of the white people. But people, you ask school kids today who are of German ancestry, they're likely not even to know they're of German ancestry. They will
correct.
Know they're white.
That is
they
correct.
They know they're American, but they don't know they're German.
Well, that's my point is we all should learn to speak the common language of the country, which is English. That should be a predominant language. It should be the language of the country. We shouldn't have all these different groups coming over here and seeing for 10, 20, 30 years they're going to be speaking their own their language, where they came from.
Right.
If that's the case, stay in your country. Just come to this country, you learn English, get out.
Yeah, I don't really care for second languages myself. That's just my sentiment as well. Thank you for your call, Tom. We'll be right back with the next call.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And we're back here on the alternative media. Richard Carey filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-hosts Patrick Slattery and Paul Edward Stevenson. Next caller, Charles in Florida. Hello, happy 4th of July. Good day, Charles. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you're Richard and all your hosts and Patrick and I forget your other co-hosts. My involvement with Jews, when I was drafted into the military in 1965 in Fort Gordon, I of course ran into my fellow Birchers. They were all talking about the Jews, and they picked on this one Jew who had been drafted, and he was worked in the stock exchange. He was telling us, and they said, "Isn't it true? You Jews are behind communism, you know." And I asked, you know, the typical. I've been the Birch Society. I was a McCarthyite. My whole family was for Joe McCarthy, of course, Irish Catholic, you know, or part you know, and traditional Catholic. And this particular Jewish fellow told me, he thought I was, you know, more reasonable. And he said, if it's traded on the exchange, we own it. That's something you should remember, all of you. The Jews know that. They know that they run American capitalism. If it's traded on the exchange, we own it. And when I was 13 years old, my brother who lived in Annapolis, he had my mother and I to meet as Rear Admiral friend of his, and we got to spend the evening with them. And Colby Rucker is his name. I don't think he'll mind. He's dead now. Rear Admiral, he was telling us about the Jews. He said, you know, Charles, Jews run America. I said, oh, I think I knew that when I was 5 years old. I think I told him, but I already knew that. So I get this from right from the straight from the horse's mouth in 1965. And in Annapolis, Maryland, from a rear admiral who fought in World War II, that the U.S. government in America belongs to the Jews. I've been a Bircher. I've been the States' Rights Party. I've been a lot of things. I've met Hans Bauer and his wife, who was Hitler's flyer. I've got to meet them. I had a friend of mine that lived in outside of Dhaka during the war years, a phony. She was a revisionist. Carolina Aderer. Met a lot of people. It's all fake. They own the United States. They own England. Like Emerson used to say, the Jews are masters of the world. They're master. They used to run England. They still do. And that way they run the world. And now they own the United States too, and run the world. I found out through genealogy I'm related to a lot of people. I'm Jenny.com. It's is an Israeli company. I find out I'm related to Tony Blair, distantly 14th cousin. I'm related to the Queen, 14th cousin once removed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think a lot of these people, speaking about the Illuminati, are related to each other. I'm related to the governor of California. I forget what, he's like a ninth cousin of mine.
Wow, at least three noteworthy people right there alone. I wonder who did your genealogy, but that is, I'm not questioning it, but that is remarkable. We have some feedback for Charles from the panel. Paul, Patrick, I don't know, do you gentlemen want to comment?
Well, I agree that they. Well, I mean, that they have tremendous influence at the very least in the United States and in the UK and Europe. I wouldn't say they completely run it, but it's very close to it. I mean, with their influence, you know.
Yeah, I wonder if all these people like the Queen or Tony Blair, our President of the United States, I'm related to what's his name, our President now, related to him, unfortunately. I forget if Jenny.com is right, the Israeli genealogy company, it was, I don't know. Are all these people related to each other? Are all the presidents united? Like, what's his name? David Icke says all the people in the presidency are all related to each other. Nothing's that came out of this. Oh, Abe Lincoln. Abe Lincoln comes from an old family. I'm related to him. Old Virginia family. They're all related to each other. Don't let them kid you.
I have heard there is a lot of inbreeding, of course, yes, from those families in power. Sure. And yeah, okay.
It's
and
a joke.
You happen to...
It's like Emerson said, they're masters of the world.
Well, the same could be said for Jewish inbreeding, necessary at times with low population.
We own it.
It's possible sociopathy, psychopathy could be more inheritable due to such inbreeding, both with elites and with the extreme tribal elites of the Little Hat Crew there as well. Okay, well, I mean, unless we have more feedback from Patrick or Paul. Charles, I mean, if you have any parting thoughts or if there's anything else you wanted to say, I don't know. But yeah, we do have some other callers. Have a good weekend, sir. Appreciate your call. Okay. And let's go to Lauren in Ohio. Hello, Lauren. Hey,
great
morning. What's on your mind?
Great conversation, gentlemen. What I'm noting is that we are paying more attention to what they're doing than we're paying to what we're doing. It doesn't. And the funny thing is, I was raised in Beechwood, Ohio, which is like all Jewish. My friend across the street was the Catholic. I was the Black, and my other girlfriend was the WASP. Okay, so I grew up with these people. It's not of Jews, the Jews, the Blacks, the Greeks. You know what I mean? We got to stop that. It's the evil people doing that which is destructive. And I hear you guys talking about God and the Bible, and, well, are we sure it's true? Well, there's lots of religion. Okay, the Bible, the Jews were the oracle people. They were the people God chose to say, okay, I'm going to show you how it's done. And he set down a bunch of rules, and he said, live this way and you'll do well. And every time the Jews violated the way that they were supposed to live, they got bad fruit because they were doing bad things, and the consequence is your punishment. It's not that God is punishing you. It's that the thing you're doing doesn't bring anything but death and destruction. That's what the devil, to do evil in you, is. The will to kill, steal, and destroy. Where God's people, God made the men. The men made a club. The club made rules, codes, regulations, and statutes to manage the maids and the butlers of the club. And now we've got the maid and the butler doing it in the master's bedroom, and the master and his wife are in the pantry, in the kitchen, in the scullery, cooking. Now, that's not their fault that we're dumb enough to obey them. What did Gandhi say? He said, it's not 100,000 British people, soldiers' fault that we're slaves in our own country. It's our fault. And he marched his butt to the sea, and they made salt, and they said, get the hell out of here. They wore homespun. They quit giving them money. And that's how you win this. First, you stop obeying illegitimate authority. You cannot rebel against illegitimate authority. They are not your God. In this country, like it or not, was established on the God of the Bible, of the truth of his word, and his son, Christ, which is the way, the life, and the truth. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Nobody's got a problem with that. But I'm telling you what created this country. And if we move away from those principles, we kill the babies in the womb. Virginia, Governor Northam, pediatric transplant doctor. We keep the babies comfortable while they take orders for the parts and then vivisect the baby, cut the baby apart. No drugs in it. But we sell clean organs. And the people who report on it from Project Veritas, they go to jail. They got to hire lawyers. They have trouble. That's what I'm saying. We're corrupt and destructive people. We're poisoning ourselves with the food. We've dumbed our children down by putting them in schools away from us 8 hours a day with pedophiles and trannies and global warming and evolution. I mean, really, Bombardier Beetle, a thing that's butt blows up. How do you do that? How do you evolve to that?
Right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? So we don't have common sense anymore. We don't have respect for truth. And if you don't have respect for yourself, and respect for the Constitution and your neighbor, because that's what this is a land of. This is the land of free kings. They are maids and butlers, and we need to start treating them as such. We need to stop giving them our money. If you've never interviewed Kelby Smith, hisadvocates.org, understand how you, you know, have contracted with them. It's fraud. Fraud negates consent because the terms of the contract were never disclosed to you. But my point is, okay, they're still doing it. They're in the illusion, and since you participate, you keep giving them your money and doing what they say, well, they're going to keep taking your money and telling you what to do. And now they're telling you, kill yourself and kill your children. And 49% of, apparently, of the people have taken that COVID shot to do just that. And it all
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. We have two other callers building up. I just want to try to get to everyone.
Talk less, guys. Bye-bye.
A lot of great points. Thank you. Art in Georgia. Hello, sir. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. It's amazing how your train of thought can change as you sit and listen to the callers. And that's what happens to me every time. It never fails. So let's just kind of like clarify a few things. First of all, Lauren, I love you, honey. Always a great call. But folks, we need to get out of this belief that this country was founded on Christian principles and the God of the Bible and this and that and the other, because it was not. And we have evidence of this with Benjamin Franklin himself in the Treaty of Tripoli, where he said in Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli, he clearly states that the United States of America was not founded on Christianity. He clearly states that. And this was the treaty with the Muslims. Clearly states that. So we need to get out of the mindset that this country was founded on Christian principles. While its structure may have been founded and designed based on the old ancient Mosaic traditions, it was not founded in Christian principles, nor was it founded based upon the God of the Bible. This is clear. This is historical fact. The second thing is, and I don't know how many times I have to do this with people, stop blaming the damn Jews. It's not the damn Jews. It's the Talmudic Zionists pretending to be Jews who are really Khazarian and Ashkenazi. Let's get our language correct.
Okay.
As long as we continue to play these dumb word games with people, we're going to continue to spiral in this never-ending circus. Let's get our language correct.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts, Art. Do we have any feedback from the panel? Patrick, Paul?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that in response to the lady that called in, the caller here is just basically, you know, echoed what I was going to say, is that the United States was not founded on the God of the Bible. I mean, there was a lot of Christians that came over from Europe, and there were a lot of Christians in the United States, and Christianity and the God of the Bible was, you know, took hold in America, and it was a big thread throughout its history. But it was not founded on the God of the Bible and Christianity. It's nowhere in the charter that it was. In fact, in the charter and the founding documents of the United Kingdom, it states quite clearly that Jesus Christ is Lord of this nation. But that wasn't the case with the United States. Secondly, the woman mentioned about it's not the Jews and everything else. Well, I mean, we understand the nuances. We've been trying to discuss those nuances and everything else. But the Bible itself, if you go back to the New Testament, refers to the Jews. In most cases, it refers to them as they did not do this, or they did this or the other for fear of the Jews. And I remember when I first read the Bible, I mean, it's quite clear that the early apostles were Jews, but there was this other, the Jews, that they referred to.
And then today, today we have so much influence, which comes from Jewish elite think tanks and their motives and agendas, what's best for them, that winds up getting pushed to the other elites, which they comply with. And then and the Jewish community as a whole is very reluctant to not support each other, to criticize each other. But please, go on.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I was just going to say, you know, the term the Jews didn't come from me or anybody in modern times. you know, it was around in at the time of the early Christians and the apostles who referred to the Jews, and as I say, most cases for fear of the Jews. So they identified this other sort of the Jews, because they were Jews, but there was this other sort of entity referred to as the Jews, which were extremely hostile to them and tried to kill them and organized and stirred up the Romans against them and stirred up the people against them and everything else.
Right.
The Ashkenazi Jews that the caller's referring to, it's true, it is the Ashkenazi Jews, but they, regardless of whether they went back to bloodlines, which I think a lot of us would accept they didn't. They weren't bloodline sort of descendants of the Jews at that time. They have signed on to that ideology, and the Talmud was around long before Christ. It just happened to be written down after Christ. But It was around by word of mouth, you know.
Okay, next caller, Bruce in Texas. You're on the air, sir.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, Bruce. Hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, I haven't heard. Is Dr. Slattery still on the line?
I believe he is. Yes, we'll see if he'll be able
to. I am, yes.
Okay, great. And everybody else, I appreciate all of y'all's input. But I'm addressing him because he brought up Dr. Kevin McDonald yesterday in reference to the Europeans having the lowest in-group preference. He says that's an evolutionary trait because of, the way they arose through society. Dr. Kevin McDonald is an evolutionary psychologist. I find it curious, though, that Dr. McDonald rejects the Khazarian theory that Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson has studiously and effectively put forth as being correct. And I think DNA is also bearing this out. But he also won't ascribe the Jewish abilities towards maybe mathematics and trading and that type of stuff that we can associate their behavior and their activities in with their evolutionary if they were actually Khazarians, the large percentage of them up in the northern border of Turkey and southern border of Russia, they were perched there on the Silk Road trading routes. I was just wondering, do any of y'all subscribe to the Khazarian theory, or if not, then tell me where did Ashkenazi / Khazarian Jews come from? Because there's no way that you could have different groups from the same area of Israel. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the genetic research the genetic research of the past decade is much more important than anything that happened before then, because the tools have just exploded over the past decade. It's conclusive that the Ashkenazi Jews and the Sephardic Jews and the Mizrahi Jews are much more closely related to each other than either any of them are to the populations they dwell amongst. It also shows links between the Ashkenazi Jews and, say, the American-speaking population that's still in, or the Lebanese Christians or whatnot. And so they do have a Middle East origin with a certain amount of European admixture, not a whole lot of Turkic admixture. And so the genetic evidence is actually pretty clear that they're related. But then you also, even before that, the linguistic evidence, if, you know, the Khazars, if they, you had this Turkish group, why would a Turkic group surrounded by a sea of Slavs if they weren't from elsewhere, right?
Well, this is the thing, they're Khazarian.
That
are you
had,
aware
that
of the,
had left the Levant, probably after the destruction of the Second Temple by Titus, and they were in German-speaking or Germanic-speaking areas of Europe, went through a severe population bottleneck. Because the Ashkenazi Jews of today seem to be all descended, or mostly descended, from less than 1,000 people less than 1,000 years ago.
So that's my information on it.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce. We have to have room for the final caller. Paul in New Jersey. Hello, sir. Yes, I'm familiar with you from Mr. Rivero's show. I listened there as well. Hey, good morning. What's on your mind, sir?
What was on my mind was about what's going on in Canada with the burning of the Catholic churches. You know, and actually, it's amazing to watch the liberal left drumming up a myth in front of the whole public. And it's kind of sad how many few people can see through this this scam. Because they're finding some children's bodies buried at these schools up there, and they're the bodies of Indian children, because the Catholic Church took it upon itself to try to, civilize the heathens and bring these people into civilization and teach them English and mathematics and ideally get them a skill so they could be assimilated into the white Western civilization. And what they're doing is they're just exaggerating the death tolls, and they don't know how to look critically at death tolls. You know, one of the things they're saying now is, in drumming up this myth, is they say how the graves are unmarked graves. They're on unmarked graves. Yeah, that's because they probably put a wooden cross up there 100 years ago, and then the wooden cross just decomposed. And that's why they're unmarked graves. Also, these same people, they don't understand the typical child mortality rates among everybody, not just Inuits, but among white people back in the early 1900s. You know, at that time, scarlet fever was raging. Also, you had diphtheria and tuberculosis, which also would ravage the population of all children. And so just because they think they may find as many as 10,000 bodies on unmarked graves, that's out of 150,000 school children total. So that comes to about 7%, which I would argue is probably a lower death toll than if these Indian children had stayed at home with their parents in their igloos. And so what we're seeing is an anti-Catholic bashing reign of terror, I would argue. You know, you're talking about terrorism. I would think a systematic burning of Catholic churches not only is a religious persecution, it's a form of terrorism. And it's perpetrated by the left, yes? Yeah. And it's being perpetrated and egged on by the media, yeah.
Yeah. Talking of which, if I just, and also Patrick, you mentioned Andrew Joyce earlier. I've been chatting to Pat or Andrew over email, and we're hoping to get him on Beyond the Official Narrative with Richard over the next couple of weeks. He actually recommended a book to me. It was called Orthodoxy and the Kingdom of Satan by Father Spyridon Bailey. It's a good read for anyone who wants to check that out. But.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Paul. Sorry that we ran out of time. Okay, well, thank you to my co-hosts, Patrick Slattery, Paul Edward Stevenson. I look forward to having you gentlemen back next week, provided we're still filling in for Mr. Schoaf. And please support RBN, folks. That's the only way this is all possible. And we will speak again soon. Happy 4th of July. Cheers.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.